I say the feeling of having a meaningful conversation and connection with a stranger is like a natural high. I feel truly elated. I feel this deep sense of connection to not only the person, but to humanity as a whole.
Hey, it's Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy. Staying open to other people is hard for a lot of us right now. I feel like I'm walking on eggshells in every interaction, always just a little or maybe a lot uncomfortable. But I don't want to give up on connection or retreat into a bubble where everybody's just like me so it feels safe. I want to stay curious, hopeful, and human. And that's what this show is about. So let's get uncomfy.
I felt shame for being different and doing something out of the ordinary. I felt like, am I a weirdo? I felt kind of this anticipatory, like this could be the best thing ever or just be the most embarrassing thing I've ever done.
This is Kalina Silverman. She is best known for her videos on YouTube and Instagram, where she asks strangers to skip the small talk and get deep. She calls it Big Talk. And she has a new book about it called Big Talk, How to Skip the Small Talk, Make Meaningful Connections, and Enrich Your Life, which if there were such a thing as the essence of uncomfy, this is it. So Kalina, I'm really excited to hear your stories. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me. And I'm excited to show people that being uncomfy is actually can lead to the most comfortable moments in life.
Well, that is a great promise. Take us to the moment you were just describing where you were feeling some shame and some like, is this going to be a train wreck or not? What was going on in that moment?
Yeah. So over 10 years ago, I decided to try a experiment in skipping small talk with complete strangers on the street because I knew in my heart, in my gut, that this was something we needed. As humanity, we needed to be more open with people and not be so scared of strangers and not be so shy because we're kind of in an era of loneliness and disconnection. So I decided to walk up to strangers, skip small talk, and ask them the question, what do you want to do before you die? And at the time, I was studying journalism, so I had a video camera and a mic and a tripod, and I was going to film these conversations. And I remember just standing in corners, literally like corners of courtyards and shopping malls, gathering up the courage to talk to strangers. And I was so uncomfortable.
Who was the first one? Can you remember, like, how did you choose that first person?
Yeah, I actually talked to a man experiencing homelessness in Venice Beach because I live in Santa Monica Beach. And we just sat and chatted for a bit. And he had a dog. And we talked about how he hadn't seen his kids in a while. And I realized he was just another human being, just like you or me. And I then proceeded to talk to a 10-year-old boy, an 80-year-old woman. I talked to a businessman in Beverly Hills. And the more I made big talk instead of small talk with complete strangers, the less uncomfy I got.
Like, what was your intro? Do you remember that first, like, hey, this is what I want to do? Like, how do you even broach that with a random stranger?
That's a great question. I introduced myself. I shared my name. I approached with a smile. I think a lot of us, when we're uncomfortable, we lock our faces and don't smile. And the most important thing is for you to be at least act comfortable so that someone else can feel comfortable talking with you. I just said, hey, I'm working on a project and getting to know people in my neighborhood. And do you have time to chat for 5 minutes? It was that simple. And a few people said no, but a lot of people were kind of excited to talk. And I found that the more we chatted, the more people were comfortable opening up in just a matter of minutes.
Did the uncomfiness pretty much go away right immediately then, or sort of, you know, did it take a couple of successes?
I think there will always be a certain level of discomfort in approaching strangers. I think we all have that built into our human biology, right? I think it's easy to feel uncomfortable in the face of a stranger. That's baked into what it means to be human. But I've also seen how beneficial it is to have these conversations with strangers and that the benefit far outweighs the discomfort. I've been hesitant to approach a stranger before, and then upon having a meaningful conversation with them that was supposed to be 5 minutes and turned into an hour, I saw how amazing that was. And of course, I do it in a safe manner and I'm happy to share those tips. But at this point, I'm not uncomfortable talking to people because I know how beautiful and magical it can be.
What is the magic, the beauty, the benefit?
Well, I think with a stranger, it's almost easier to open up and be your truest self than with someone you know closely. I think with a family member, a coworker, a friend, there's preconceived notions about who you are because you've known each other for years. But when you talk to a stranger, you almost have a completely blank, or you literally have a completely blank slate, and you're able to just say what comes to mind in the exact present moment without thinking too hard about it. I've had complete strangers open up and quickly burst into tears telling me stories of their lives in a matter of moments. I've talked to people, interviewed them, shared their stories, and their own family members will reach out and say, I've never seen my dad cry like that or open up like that. And I was like, really? Because I only chatted with them for a few moments.
What's the experience like for you? So clearly, and if people watch these videos, mm-hmm. like there is a sense of, you know, catharsis, it seems like. And these people seem to be feeling like this is really nice that someone's asking me and listening. What are you experiencing on the other side of that camera?
I say the feeling of having a meaningful conversation and connection with a stranger is like a natural high. I feel truly elated. I feel this deep sense of connection to not only the person, but to humanity as a whole. Because usually when someone opens up in an emotional way, they reveal a universal truth. And it's something that all of us can relate to. It's why we watch movies. It's why we read stories. It's why we connect with short Instagram videos and start bursting to tears of someone who lives in a totally different country from us. And I feel that same connection in a heightened way when I'm talking to a stranger. It's so magical, and it beats any other high I've ever experienced out of life.
So how do you come up with the questions? I guess maybe contrast for me what a small talk question and a big talk translation might be.
Yeah. So I define a small talk question as a conversation closer, and a big talk question as a conversation opener. And the three criteria I use for a big talk question are that, one, it's a universal question, meaning anyone can relate to it no matter who they are, what they do, where they're from. It's not a yes or no question, so it's an open-ended question. And three, it doesn't touch upon factual knowledge or politics or opinions. It's about a universal human experience. So a small talk question, the most obvious one we're all used to, is just, how's the weather? So that's a universal experience, but doesn't really lead to a deep personal insight. But if you can ask someone instead about, describe a time that you were happy in the summer, that's going to create such a more meaningful conversation than how's the weather? Oh, it's hot outside. Big talk questions I love to ask are like, what are you proud of? What's been the darkest time of your life and how did you get through it? What do you want to do before you die? What do you find beautiful in the world? If you could share a message with everyone in the world, what would it be? And is there anything you want to share that I haven't asked you about?
Yeah, a lot of the videos you've been posting over the last 6 to 8 months and even winning awards mm-hmm. for have been tied to like talking to people who've experienced a natural disaster, a loss of like their home or their community or their pet or their family member. Like these are devastating moments. And I've wondered how like... You roll in there with your camera and people are like they're in the thick of it, right? The loss is so fresh. Tell me about one of those conversations and sort of how that went for you, because that, I feel like it's even harder to go into a situation where you know people are devastated and start asking them deep probing questions.
So I always make sure to meet people where they're at, whether that's at the site of their home that just burned down or in the place they're sheltering or a park that they have good memories and are comfortable with. And honestly, I don't sugarcoat it. I go straight into it. I ask them, what's something you love that you lost in this disaster? And I use the word love because it brings out an emotional response. And, you know, it's, if you say, what did you lose? Someone might just say, my house. If you say, what do you love that you lost? They would say, my community, my neighborhood, or... the memories I had with my wife who's passed away here. And that's how they really, you know, you would think it'd be uncomfortable to ask them these questions, but instead it's almost, like you said, a catharsis. It's a release. It allows them to just say what's really on their hearts and minds rather than having to deal with, you know, the front of the brain and think about logistics and all that. They can just have a sense of emotional catharsis being able to open up to a stranger. And the first one I did with the LA fires, I interviewed a man who had lost his home and his community. And he was a helper in his community. He talked about how he gave shoes to someone who was on a park bench and he found out that person used to be his student. And millions of people connected with that video because he was so open and he cried. And that video ended up raising $1 million just for this one family. So I saw the power of storytelling in supporting people in times of disaster. And that's why I've committed to keep doing that. And recently I came back from Texas covering the Texas floods as well.
Do you have to be careful not to say certain things? Or I guess one of my instincts would be to try to like comfort or step in and be like, well, let me see if I can help you fix this, you know?
I don't try to fix usually. I listen and I say, thank you for sharing. Or I say, what you shared is a gift to me and to everyone who's going to hear this, because it's going to help them too. But it's really hard to fix things for people. We don't know what they truly need. I guess if you were to triage grief, I'm the first step is just listening. I'm not a professional knowing how to fix problems, but sometimes just listening helps a lot.
So let's, Kalina Silverman, talk practical here.
Yeah.
Who are you trying to encourage with this book that you've written? And what are you trying to encourage them to have in their life? Because hopefully it's not, hey, everybody should go out and talk to strangers on the street with their camera on, right? Like, that's kind of a separate thing. So what is the practice and who is this for, really?
This book is for anyone who feels lonely, anyone who feels disconnected, anyone who feels connected and wants to deepen their connections. It's for a kid who just moved across the country to go to school for the first time and be away from their friends and wants to meet new people but have meaningful relationships. It's for someone who just got out of a divorce and they spent so much time with their family and now they're trying to figure out a new version of themselves and meet people out in the world. It's for someone who's seen the same people every day at work, but feels like they don't really know them. And this book is also for self-reflection. I think Big Talk really starts with knowing yourself. I think when you're comfortable with yourself and you've self-reflected enough, then you're able to be more comfortable having these conversations with other people. And you kind of lose that sense of discomfort or shame because you know who you really are.
So, Kalina, if I could just ask you finally, if I can get a little personal with you.
Yeah.
You talk in the book about having experienced loneliness and isolation and even struggling with panic attacks.
Yeah.
So what difference has Big Talk made for you as a person?
Big Talk has made all the difference. I think a lot of anxiety and loneliness, panic attacks stem from feeling like you can't open up about it and you don't have someone to Big Talk with. But now I can talk about panic attacks with an openness, with a smile on my face. I can tell you that just last week, I couldn't fall asleep because my heart was racing and I'm not scared or ashamed to talk about it. And it makes it easier. So I think because I've had so many conversations with people who've also had similar struggles and who've gone through way harder things than I have in life, I feel empowered to just open up about anything and to talk to anyone about anything, because even if someone's gone through something that feels different, we can still relate on the fact that we went through something difficult and got out of it. And for anyone who's experienced loneliness or depression or anything of that sort, you are not alone. Trust me, almost everyone I've talked to has been through something like that. And the key is just being able to talk about it.
Kalina Silverman is on social media at Make Big Talk, where you can see the videos that she's posting, her having big talk with strangers all over the world, really. And her new book is called Big Talk, How to Skip the Small Talk, Make Meaningful Connections, and Enrich Your Life. Kalina, thanks so much for sharing your stories.
Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you for getting uncomfy with us today. So, are you thinking about trying some big talk? I'm definitely one that prefers the big talk, but not always sure I want to actually go there because I don't know if I want to deal with whatever might come as a result of the questions, right? It feels like kind of a risky commitment, but you know, Kalina makes a good pitch, so I think it's worth a try. I'd love to hear how it goes for you. Email uncomfy@byu.edu. And if there's someone in your life who might benefit from this conversation, I'd love to have you share this episode. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it, and the team includes Hyobin Kim and Sam Payne. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. Hey friends, it's Julie. I want to recommend a show your whole family can enjoy together. It's called The Appleseed from BYU Radio. It's a storytelling podcast where you'll find everything from tales about talking critters to heartwarming real life moments. These are award-winning storytellers from all over the world who come to the Appleseed stage and they share experiences about gut feelings that paid off, small acts of kindness, even the occasional mishap like dyeing your eyebrows the wrong color. So gather your family for great adventures that might just spark stories of your own that you can share with the people you love to create connection. Tune into The Appleseed on BYU Radio or listen on your favorite podcast app.